Concerned, this might be the shortest ever adult forum immediately following worship and some time for coffee. Last week there were only three of us. Don't allow us to make all the decisions in terms of the ELCA and their social statements and the responses we are handing in. Don't allow us to be the only ones who make those decisions. Do come. Though our conversation was actually quite interesting. I've really appreciated that. Secondly, the council meeting, because of conflicts for numerous people on Tuesday evening, was moved to this afternoon at 3 o'clock. I have not been here for a council meeting yet, so my guess is we are meeting right there. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. And I don't know if the necessary... I know that the document that I had asked to be sent out has been sent out, but I don't know if budget or anything else has yet gone out. So see you this afternoon. Vacation Bible School is an evening VBS this week, taking place at Grace Community Church, beginning at 5:30 every evening until, I believe, 8 o'clock is the schedule. And so if you are 3 feet tall or under, you can be as a participant. And if you have passed the 3 feet range, then you are needed as a helper, assistant, whatever. And they have otherwise pretty well everything under control. I've talked to the folks who are organizing it over there, and there are a few things that they need. You have seen this on the back of the bulletin. And I don't quite know how the system works here, if you sign up for it or if it just happens, or how exactly the system works. That's very different when you are in a much larger church where you have less communication between individuals than you have in a smaller place like this. So, what have I forgotten? Any other announcements that need to be made?
We're still collecting shoes.
Still collecting shoes.
So,
how much longer?
A while.
Okay. So when I finally get to my closet, I can sit
there. Also, you will see that there is one more, or, you know, again, one of those questions for congregation. Here is your friendly threat from your council. If you are not going to fill those out and get them back to us, we will fill them out for you. And then you can actually protest and say, sorry, this is not who we are. This is not what we mean. You know, we don't have... I know that the church operates on a 2,000-year time schedule, but we don't quite have 2,000 years. And so we are trying to get things moving because, of course, my deadline is the very end of August because the bishop needs me back down in Denver. And so we try to have something arranged by that time. Anything else? Yes?
After serving 14 years on city council, I have found that we really... if there's something important that is going to be talked about, I think it would be wise for any of you that are interested to please attend the meeting this afternoon. Just remember that if you have anything to say, don't say it until you're recognized by the president. I don't want it to be a shooting match between everybody, because there are things on this list that I know I'm upset with. And... I've been told that if I'm not happy, I can find another church, but I'm not just about to do that. So if you have any questions or would like to know what's going on, you better attend the meeting, okay?
Okay, is there a list out that I haven't seen yet?
A what?
A list out that you have...
the one that you had sent us to discuss.
Oh, okay, yes. Yeah.
There are things on it that I don't quite agree with and I don't understand, but I'm sure that I'll find out at the meeting.
Yes.
I do think that anybody that is interested in what's going on with Senate and our church, mm-hmm. I think that they better attend the meeting.
That's very true, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that, just for those of you who have not been on the mail-out list for council, that was what I have put together as a list of the various options of what the future for St. Luke's might hold. That goes all the way from having a full-time pastor here and what that would mean, all the way to where are we going in case this church should decide to disband. I need to put it all out. That's my job. And so that will be in conversation this afternoon. I am not recommending any of those things. All I was trying to do is to make sure you have in front of you every single option and every single consequence that comes with any one of those. So, yes. If we are going to have a council meeting of the whole, I'm all for it, because this congregation is small enough to do this. There is, again, you know, how many or how few people shall make huge decisions. I know there are always congregational meetings that can happen after that, but for the time being, in the consideration and deliberation and discernment phase that we are in, these are the things that need to be considered and talked about. So thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate it.
I think a lot of people don't realize that it is an open meeting and you can attend any time you want. You don't have to have a special invitation, but if you want to know what's going on, you better be there.
That's very true, yes. All right. Anything else? Let's gather our hearts and our minds to worship God. Please rise. Thank you. Are we singing? Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, abounding in steadfast love toward us, healing the sick and raising the dead, showering us with every good gift.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Just and gracious God, we come to you for healing and life. Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the scars of sin. We bring these also to you. Show us your mercy, O God. Bind up our wounds. Forgive us our sins. And free us to love. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul assures us, when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, nailing the record of our sins to the cross. Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven. Be at peace and tell everyone how much God has done for you.
Amen.
Thank you.
love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Strength of the same Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first reading today is Genesis 3, 8 through 15. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will say Psalm 130 responsively today. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication.
If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Yet with you is forgiveness, in order that you may be feared.
I wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits. In your word is my hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who keep watch for the morning. More than those who keep watch for the morning.
O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption.
For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins.
The second reading is 2 Corinthians 4, 13 and 5 verse 1. Just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus Christ, according to St. Mark, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again, so that Jesus and the disciples could not even eat. They went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is Beelzebul, since he cast out demons." And he called to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said he had an unclean spirit. Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. Do you have any children who want to come forward?
You do.
Very good. Good morning. How's summer going? So far, so good? All right. So, let's see. You two are from the same family? You two as well? Okay. So, let's see. Tell me who makes up your family. Who is part of your family? Mom? Dad? Brother? Grandparents? Anyone? Uncles?
And grandmas.
Grandmas? Aunts? Anybody? Okay. Anyone have a dog? Oh, good. Anyone have a cat? Oh, I'm sorry. All right. That's who makes up our family, right? And so when we get together for a big holiday or for a big celebration, those are the people who come. Here is something strange. Jesus says, your family is a whole lot bigger than that. Your family includes everyone who is doing the will of God. Those are the ones who are part of a church, of a congregation. Those are the ones who do the will of God without ever being part of a congregation. Those are even the ones who sometimes belong to a different religion. All of us seeking to do the will of God. So this morning, here is something that I want us to try. Are you up for something interesting? Not sure? Sort of? Let's try. Come with me. Let's do a field trip. All right. So, yeah, you're all tall enough to reach this. One of the things that we do very often is we put our finger into this bowl and make the sign of the cross on our foreheads, right? And we remember that we are baptized. That's what we do. So this morning, I want you all to do the same. Dip your finger in there and make the sign of the cross on your forehead. Go ahead. Right. Right there. I am baptized. That is what we say. And that is what makes us larger family. Okay? Now, this was the easy part. Now it's getting interesting. I want you to dip your finger back in there and go out into this congregation and make the sign of the cross on the forehead of someone here in the congregation who is also your sister, your brother, your mom, your dad, your aunt, your whoever, not by blood, not by the genealogy, but by this water that Jesus gives us to remind us that we all are children of God. All right, are we game? Go! Oh, that is too easy, folks. Come on, I said into the congregation. And don't all go to your moms. Find someone else in the congregation. All right. Remember that you are a child of God. All right, thank you very much. We might need to practice this a couple more times. Will you pray with me? May God grant that only the truth will be spoken here, and only the truth will be heard. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I grew up in Germany, and summer didn't start until the beginning or middle of August. That's when school holiday started. So when I came to this country and I learned that in June, everybody was off school, it was the great, great time of family reunions, I was really quite surprised at this schedule. But the date is often set months in advance, and a location often chosen to please the greatest number of participants. And so these get-togethers are often the only way that ever-expanding families keep track of each other. It's a time to reconnect, to update one another about life events, to welcome the newest members to the extended family, and most importantly, a time to retell those infamous but treasured stories of the time when Junior nearly drowned in the pool, or Missy dropped the entire plate of hamburgers fresh off the grill because the dog had taken too keenly an interest in them. As a general rule, either the victim or the perpetrator of Sid's story sooner or later cries out, no, this was not at all how it happened. It was totally different. Or better yet, it wasn't me. It wasn't my fault. Reminding us that the abdication of responsibility in reality and in story is truly as old as humanity itself. The Genesis story that we read this morning is certainly one of the better examples of it, though my Denver colleague, John Petty, always jokes that the story in Genesis is really not a family story of disobedience or whatever else it has been called throughout the centuries at all, but simply a story about bad horticulture. For crying out loud, people, he always says, there are two named trees in the garden, the one of eternal life and the other one of the knowledge of good and evil. Do you really have to eat of the wrong one? Because, you know, this is how family stories go. Some are largely true. Others are somewhat true. And others are simply told to explain why things are as they are. And with families these days so much less homogeneous than they used to be, more and more explanations are needed. Borders expand, not just geographically, but also socially, spiritually, politically. In my own family, my parents' three children live in three different countries, and we have done so for all of our adult lives, though the countries have changed over the years. And now that we have added in-laws, one of them from yet another country with yet another first language, the cooking, the traditions, and the languages have become even more diverse. So in the midst of rapid change and graying hair, the annual reunions and their stories remind us of our common roots and where they have taken us. This is where we came from. This is what we have made of it. So with family reunions just around the corner and today's reading saying a thing or two about families, this might be a good time to revisit what family means in the eyes and the words of Jesus. Have you ever pictured in your mind what harsh a rejection Jesus throws at his birth family? They must have been hurt and angry and confused. And what about all the others who do the will of God that he suddenly calls part of his family, who had never expected for that to happen? Just imagine what that might mean. Not just to him, but also to us. Now, back in first century Palestine, the family unit was much more than simply the group of people into which someone was born. It was security, it was standing in life and society, it was deeply rooted in the concept of honor and shame. Family loyalty was key, not just because people loved and cared for one another, but more so because family needed one another to survive. To be cast out of one's family or to leave voluntarily would mean economic hardship and sometimes even death. But certainly it meant the loss of all identity. Widows and orphans were chronically at risk. The story of the prodigal son who squanders his birthright and then ponders his fate reminds us that in his time and age, he'd be more secure as a servant in his father's household than on his own in a cruel and cold world. And the multitude of Jesus' stories that speak of leaving one's birth family in order to find a new and entirely untraditional one remain some of our faith's most abiding and most challenging messages. Now, there's no doubt that today's families look and function differently than they did back in the first century Palestine. These days, even the definition of what constitutes a family varies. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, in 2010, the last we have national data for, that's what your census is for, 13.1% of the households were headed by a single female. 26.7% of households consisted of a single person. The number of husband-wife family households was down from 51.7% in 2000 to 48.4% in 2010. Census data also revealed that more than 25% of same-sex couples were rearing children within their family unit. And according to the Pew Research Center, 16.1% of the population lives in households where there are two or more generations of adults. So, in clear numbers and facts, the image that we carry of mom and pop, 2.5 kids and a dog and a cul-de-sac, split level, is largely history. And new forms of family are created each and every day. Now think about the families that you know, both here at St. Luke's and among your family, friends, and neighbors. Are there grandparents who are raising grandchildren? Are there gay and lesbian couples? How many empty nesters have seen their college grad children move back in with them? How many 20-somethings are sharing housing with a more intentional community like our Synod's Lutheran Urban Servant Corps in Denver? These kinds of changes to our traditional understanding of family are all around us. So if you think, so what? This is all explosive stuff for many folks in the church, because for so long, church has been considered the bastion of all tradition, of defending and perpetuating how things used to be. Personally, I have to admit, I'm never quite sure how that happened, because Jesus has never struck me as a defender of how things used to be. Instead, if all things, he draws a wide circle of inclusion. Whoever does the will of God is part of my family, he says. That includes the farmer and the investor. It includes the Republican and the Democrat. It includes the single mother and the down and out camping wild in the mountains. No wonder Jesus' flesh and blood kin were wondering about his mental state. This was terrifically radical stuff. And considering where it led him in the end, all they might have tried to do is keep him at home and make sure he stays safe and doesn't say anything anywhere. But just for a moment this morning, imagine how a Christian family reunion might look like. Perhaps even here at St. Luke's in Buffalo. As a general rule, the vast majority of us here look the same, act the same, and share many of the same values. But how many differences there are in our understanding and interpretation of the world and events, that's not always talked about. How can we act on the stunningly radical invitation of Jesus? Have we yet invited the wackier neighbors or the really artistic cousins of Johnson County? Have we yet dared to tell them, you have a really interesting little church family, and you wouldn't believe how much they'd like to have you there? And then comes the hard part. then we have to figure out how to make them welcome. At this table, at this font, in this community. Will we, like Paul, support that wide-arching grace that spreads outward from Christ's love all the way to the ends of the earth? When we do worship well, there is a family reunion spirit at every single service. Any time that the body of Christ is gathered, taught, fed, and sent. How can we follow Jesus' example so our family gatherings as a church are as diverse and as inclusive as he challenged us to make them? But also, how can we act and work on a room for all? The cattle and the sheep herders. Yes, I heard about the history of Johnson County. And make space for all ministry and mission that it suggests. So the question for St. Luke's, and let's face it, for most all faith communities these days, is how do we live into that family reality? What molds need to be broken? What borders need to be crossed? That this new concept of being family can be lived out among us. But also, what codes of conduct do we hold and expect of those here? So this family reunion doesn't break up in fights, never to be assembled again. How do we best tell the stories of our faith, the ties that bind, if you want, while we still welcome new voices, new experiences, new traditions to our established ones? Because this is what the choice and commitment to Jesus' church means. My mother, my sisters, my brothers, they are the ones who do the will of God, here or in any other place. Amen. God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Church in every place, praying for the world that God so loves. Lord God, you call your church to be one and teach us that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Overcome our separations in the body of Christ and make us one diverse family, the brothers and sisters of Jesus. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord God, with you there is forgiveness and hope. And you love your whole creation. Help us order our lives so that human activity in your creation gives voice to hope. Empower us to bring healing in your world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord God, you still walk among us, and we still hide ourselves from you out of fear. We withdraw from strangers and those unlike ourselves, the very people you call us to love. Replace our fear with trust. Remove enmity between nations and grant us peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord God, your compassion continually reaches into the lives of your people. Visit with loving kindness those experiencing afflictions of any kind, especially those who name before you now. Renew all of us and prepare us for glory, so that we do not lose heart. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord God, more than those who watch for the morning, our souls wait and watch for you. In the coming months of summer, help us to be refreshed and at play, watching and waiting for you at every turn. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord God, you raised Jesus from the dead and promised to raise us with him and bring us into his presence. We remember those who have died, and we thank you for your steadfast love and power to redeem. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
By the sure guidance of your Holy Spirit, O God, we lift up our prayers in trust and thanksgiving. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us exchange the sign of God's peace among us.
Peace.
and to you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Christ invites you to a place of honor at this banquet. Welcome to the feast. Please be seated.
Thank you. body of Christ, bread for your journey. The 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 body of Christ, bread for your journey. Body of Christ, bread for your journey. The body of Christ, bread for journey. Blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Will you please rise? The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. O Lord, as mother comforts her child, so you comfort your people, carrying us in your arms and satisfying us with this food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Send us now as your disciples, announcing peace and proclaiming that the reign of God has come near. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.